really the essence and the power behind what we actually just saw and portrayed before us, that it really was God with us, God coming to earth. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to spend a couple minutes in the Word of God this morning. Father God, thank you, Jesus, for always meeting us here. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful children that are in our lives and these families that we have around us. Lord, we do not want to forget the power, how powerful it is, Father God, to know Emmanuel, God with us. And right now, we set ourselves to be able to receive everything that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. All right, so this morning, what makes Christmas special? What makes Christmas so special? Why do we do this every year? Why did they start doing this? What is so special about this? We're going to find out this morning. Because it's not just the food, even though the food's really good. It's not just the family time, which is also amazing. It's not just giving gifts or receiving gifts. There's something more. Amen. Amen. Also, I want to say that there is five things that Satan tries to nullify, tries to remove, tries to lie about in our Christian walk, in our Christian basics of our faith. And they are the cross, the resurrection, heaven, hell. Who was here on Wednesday? Who was here on Wednesday? We're starting to kind of go over some of these things. And we talk about the cross. We did a whole series on the covenant. We talk about the resurrection of Jesus Easter time. We talk about heaven. That's a wonderful subject to talk about. And glory to God. Hallelujah. We get to, you know, just really get excited about heaven. Sometimes we do not spend the time that we need to talk about hell. That is a real place, a place of torture and horrible things. We watched a movie this last Wednesday, and we went over some different things, and it was scripture after scripture of what is described to us as hell. And it puts a fervency on the inside of us to tell our families and friends, and to have a respect and a gratitude, a thankfulness, and to be thanking Jesus for everything that he's done. So, amen. We love children in here, by the way. We don't get mad at kids. This is a family church. Kids are a blessing. Babies are a blessing. Hallelujah. So, and then the last thing, that was only four things. The cross, resurrection, hell, heaven, and the virgin birth. And the birth of Jesus. When God came to earth in flesh as a human for us. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's go to Matthew 1:18. We're going to keep it in the New King James Version, Tian, until probably the last scripture, I think, is in a different version. So I'm just going to keep it right here in the New King James Version. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. If you want to underline, with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. We can underline that one, is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Glory to God. We're going to look at that. That what he referred to, the prophet, it is in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Glory to God. Right here, give you a sign. Give you a sign. What does that really mean? Give you a sign. How can we put that in nowadays? What does that mean for us? So if we think about it, now I know we're in a world of Facebook, FaceTime, pictures, and whatnot, but what if we had a long-lost relative that was flying in into town, and we were talking to them on the phone, and we were saying, okay, well, yeah, I'll pick you up from the airport. How can I recognize you? What will be a sign? Okay, well, I'm going to wear a red sweater, and I have blonde hair, and I will be standing right next to the Starbucks. And you can find me there right after I get off of the airport, off of the airplane. So that's kind of an idea of what they were basically, the men of old were asking God for a sign. What are the signs that we can know that Messiah has come? So we're going to go over some of those things. This is so interesting. Let me just turn this right over here. I don't know if you guys have ever read this book, seen this book, but it's an amazing book. I think everybody should take time to read this. It really is amazing. We have referred back to it so many different times. It's Beyond Belief, Two Convictions. It's Josh McDowell's book. Who's ever read this book? Who's familiar? It's really amazing. Okay, so in here, he starts talking about this idea, and he starts talking about these five things basically that Satan tries to disprove and remove from our Christian walk. But basically, he's talking about these signs that God gave us about Jesus coming to earth. What are those signs? So think about this idea of the men of old asking God. Okay, God might have responded, well, I will cause him to be born as an Israelite and a descendant of Abraham. Okay, that's great. But Abraham's descendants will be numerous as the stars, God. What else can we have here? We need some more signs here. Okay, all right, God says, all right, I'll narrow it down for you. Only half of Abraham's lineage. He will make him a descendant of Isaac and not Ishmael. Okay, all right, that will help, but that's still an awful lot of people. How can we narrow it down some more? Sure. Let him be born of Jacob's line. Then eliminating half of Isaac's lineage. Okay, and there's scriptures for all of this. All right, God will be more specific. Jacob will have 12 sons. So I will bring forth the Messiah out of the tribe of Judah. That's still a lot of people. Let's narrow it down. I mean, it's helping, but let's get this narrowed down here. All right, so let's see here. He will be from the family line of Jesse. And from the house and lineage of Jesse's youngest son, David. And then I will tell you where he will be born. He tells us where Jesus was born. Bethlehem, in a tiny town in the area called Judah. But how will we know that that person that's born in that area is really the Messiah? All right, well, let's see here. He will be preceded by a messenger who will be prepared, that will prepare the way and announce his advent. All right, these are all prophesied before Jesus got here. These are prophesied not only like, they're not 30 days, they were 500 years before Jesus got here. These are all prophesied before. So he will begin his ministry in Galilee. That was prophesied. And will teach in parables, performing many miracles. All right, that sounds like a lot. And God is saying, oh, I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. So it says, he will ride in Jerusalem on a donkey. All right, he will appear suddenly and forcefully at the temple courts, zealously cleaning house. Okay. All right, and then in one day, he will fulfill 29 specific prophecies. Think about this, 500 years before. 29 in one day. He will be betrayed by a friend. The price of his burial will be 30 pieces of silver. His betrayal money will be cast to the floor of the temple. His betrayal money will be used to buy Potiphar's field. He will be forsaken and deserted by his disciples. He'll be accused by false witnesses. He'll be silent before his accusers. He'll be wounded and bruised. I'm going to read through this so we can really get a depth of what Jesus told us, that he did this so we know who Jesus is. Amen? He will be hated without a cause. He will be struck and spit on. He will be mocked, ridiculed, and rejected. He will collapse from weakness. He'll be taunted with specific words. People will shake their heads at him. People will stare at him. He will be executed among sinners. His hands and feet will be pierced. He will pray for his persecutors. His friends and family will stand afar off and watch. His garment will be divided and won by casting of lots. He will thirst. He will be given gall and vinegar. He will commit himself to God. His bones will be left unbroken. His heart will be ruptured. His side will be pierced. Darkness will come over the land at midday. He will be bruised at a rich man's tomb. He will die. Oh, this is interesting. He will die 483 years after the declaration of Xerxes to rebuild the temple in 444 BC. I mean, that's pretty specific. Yeah. That is very, I mean, if you were to, that is just amazing. Now, they went through this, and there was this gentleman, he was a professor, Professor Peter W. Stoner, and he analyzed all of this with statistics and probabilities. Do you guys want to hear what the statistic and the probability of this actually happening and one man actually fulfilling these things? So Professor Peter W. Stoner, in an analysis that was carefully reviewed and pronounced to be sound by the American Scientific Affiliation. So he had it reviewed by this American Scientific Affiliation. States that the probability of just eight, can we all put eight fingers up? Not all of these ones that we just said, and not even the 29 fulfilled in one day. This is just eight. Eight. So if one man could fulfill eight of these, it would be one in 10 to the 17th. So that means one, and you draw 17 zeros behind the one. Okay? I don't even know what to call that number because it's so large. But they also put it this way because sometimes we don't understand what that really means. What does that look like on earth? What does that volume, what does that mass look like? So they put it this way. So if you were to take 10 to the 17 silver dollars and spread them across the state of Texas. Now, my husband and I looked up how far it is to drive across Texas in a vehicle going as fast as you can on the highway. What was it, honey? 14 to 16 hours if we were to drive. So Texas is a very large state. Okay, just to kind of get that in our head, how large Texas is, even if we're driving. So we have silver dollars here. We put them all across the state of Texas. They would not only cover the entire state of Texas, it would come up 2 feet in depth. 2 feet in depth.
That's silver dollars,
2 feet in depth. That is the mass amount of one in 10, 2 feet in depth. Oh, one to the 10 to the 17, 10 to the 17th. He's trying to get that number across. Lots of zeros. So that gives you a little inkling. Now, if we were to blindfold Pastor Ricky here and throw him into Texas with the 2 feet depth of silver dollars, and one somewhere in that mix is colored red, that would be the probability he would get if he were to reach down and pull up one silver dollar. That is the and get the red one. That would be the probability. For fulfilling only eight. Only eight.
Yeah.
So when Jesus gave us a sign that he was sending the Messiah, when he was sending his son for us, he didn't just give one. He didn't just give two. there are several, and on one day he fulfilled 29. Glory to God. Can we give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for doing that for us, for helping us out and knowing that Jesus did come to earth. Hallelujah. So we're going to get in here a little bit more in depth here. So why is there an attack on the deity of Christ? People try to say Jesus is just a good person, just like any other maybe religious leader that is made some so-called religion, maybe a so-called prophet, but we know that's not right, amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God, and he came in the flesh. Let's go to John 1, please. John 1, 1. And I'm just going to move along here. In the beginning was the Word. If you can see there, the word up there is capitalized. It's referring as a title. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all these were made through him, and through him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Hallelujah. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's go down to verse 14. If you are still a little confused of what this word is and who this is talking about, and the word became flesh. Hallelujah. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory to God. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Let's go to 1 John 4:4. Even when they were writing these things in the New Testament, there was already this attack on the Son of God, or this attack on the Messiah actually coming to earth as human, as flesh. There was an attack on God coming to us as flesh and as a human. 1 John 4:4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How do we know it's a false prophet? It's going to tell us. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. We have to underline that. We have to know that for ourselves. This is one thing as a Christian and as our belief is that we know that Jesus, that God himself came in the flesh for us. That is how we know. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That's pretty plain and simple. That's pretty straightforward, amen? And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Satan is trying to take that away from us, and we have to know the truth concerning this. Let's go to 2 John 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who did not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. Wow, that is interesting. Deceivers. For many deceivers have gone out into the world and do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. How do we know that we can be deceived? If they say that Jesus, that God himself did not come in the flesh, that is how we know. That is how we know. Hallelujah. That is one thing that we can tell. Amen. Why is there an attack on this? Because if he did not become human, if he did not take on flesh and blood, then he could not pay for our sin. He had to pay for it for us. He had to take on flesh and blood. Jesus Christ really was born of a virgin. Hallelujah. He really did get stripes on his back for our healing. Glory to God. He really did take our sins to the cross. Hallelujah. And guess what? On 3 days, what did he do? He rose from the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. And defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 2:14. So hopefully we can start seeing these things that we see in children's Christmas productions of Jesus' birth a little differently. And maybe we can see this whole part of the season that, yes, there is something special about Christmas. There is something powerful about Christmas. And it's when God came to earth for us. Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch as they, the children, have partaken of the flesh, he himself likewise shared in the same. He shared in the same things we did. He shared in those same things. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is, the devil. Glory to God. And he did. Amen. Glory. All right, I have a little story to tell you to kind of put this in a different way. Maybe we'll understand a little bit more here. There was a man that had a close friend that was a judge. One day, this man was running a little late, and he was on the highway, and he was speeding down the highway, and soon enough, he saw the red and blue lights behind him, and he pulled over, and he got a speeding ticket. So, later on, he was having lunch with his judge friend, and he had asked his friend, "So, is there a way that you can just get this taken care of for me?" And judge friend said, yeah, I can do that. Okay, wow, all right. So a couple weeks later, they're having a barbecue, and their friends come over, and the judge friend comes over, and he asked the question, thank you for dismissing that speeding ticket. And the judge says, "Oh, I didn't dismiss the speeding ticket." And he's like, "Well, what did you do then?" And he's like, "Oh, I paid for the speeding ticket." And he said, "I didn't want you to pay for the speeding ticket. I just wanted to do your judge thing and just dismiss the speeding ticket." And let me get right over my notes here because I have it in a certain way. Well, his judge friend asked him two questions. And he says, "Do you think that I'm a good judge?" And he says, "Yes, you're an amazing judge. You're a great judge." Okay, second question. "Were you guilty?" "Yes, I was going a little fast down the highway and I got pulled over, and yes, I was speeding." "Okay. Well, then justice demanded that the penalty be paid. And since I'm a righteous judge, I can't dismiss the charges against you, but I can pay them." And that's what Jesus did for us. I think sometimes we take that for granted, or sometimes we think that somehow he just dismissed the charges. The charges weren't dismissed. He paid for them. He paid for us to not have to pay the penalty of death and hell. He paid for us to be able to have that relationship with him and to make a way to heaven. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. A couple more scriptures here. Matthew 16:13. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? And I believe that Jesus is asking us the same question today, December 19th, 2021, here in this congregation, and of all of us here together in the sound of my voice, because I know some people are watching on Facebook. That same question that was asked to those disciples, that Jesus asked them, he is asking us. Who do you say I am? And we have a choice. And this choice that we decide who Jesus is, if it's God come in the flesh for us, the way that we answer that question can be the difference in eternity. Jesus is asking, who do you say I am? Hallelujah. God became human. God didn't just send a messenger with a message. God came and took our place and paid for our sin. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9:6. This was interesting as I was kind of getting this together and asking the Holy Spirit some different things. We hear this scripture that we're about to go over. We hear it a lot this time of year. But hopefully knowing this and knowing the scripture and what God has to say about this subject, maybe we can look at it a little bit differently. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born, a human is born. Unto us a son, the Son of God, is given. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 1:15. And I read this one with Pastor Ricky this morning when we were talking about this. And whoo, this scripture, hallelujah. Colossians 1:15. Can I have this one in the NLT? I'll read it in this one real quick. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the New Living Translation. I really, really love how this... Christ is the visible image. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is the visible image. So when we see pictures of baby Jesus and we see pictures of that and know that Christ, that God himself took on flesh, it's a visible image of the invisible God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's so special about Christmas? Amen. God with us. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that breaks every yoke, that pulls down every stronghold. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus, for coming to earth and putting on flesh for us, even though we didn't deserve it. And even when we were mocking you, Father God, you did it anyways. You did it anyways, and we thank you, Father God, for that. Hallelujah. As everybody's eyes are closed, if you do not know Jesus as Lord, if you have not been introduced to Jesus Christ, you might know about Jesus, but if you do not know Jesus, if you don't know him, I want to introduce you to him this morning. If that is you, today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. If that is you, please raise your hand. We want to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the one that came to earth for you. If that is you, you can raise your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just going to wait another minute here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It looks like we all know Jesus Christ as Savior this morning. So, Father God, thank you, Lord. Glory to God that we have the hope and the expectation of you and your glorious heavens. Thank you, Jesus, that we have your authority that you have given us, for that we will do everything that you have placed us on this earth to do. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And I thank you as we leave this place, we can share this wonderful good news of Jesus Christ to all those around us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.